This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QUEERFAM for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. Today's episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk is brought to you by Eucora, Follane, and Ritual. We're excited to have them on board.
Oh my God, I love them.
I love them too. Oh, welcome, 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 welcome
to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Robin.
I'm Jamie, and we're your hosts, and I really can't look at you right now.
Yeah, just guys, we're in preparation for Halloween, which is happening in 2 days. Jamie and I are both wearing sparkle headbands.
They're my daughters. I have
probably gonna end up with lice, by the way.
Well, I know. I told Robin I didn't care, but I do have the cool one on because it's a
so she takes out the two. One is a unicorn, and I reached for it, I go, and she goes, oh. And I was like, no, it's fine, I'll take the other one. And she was like, no, it's fine.
I really don't care. No, but now that I'm wearing it, I'm really happy to tell you guys I have a unicorn horn on. It's a rainbow unicorn horn. Stop, did you know that?
Stop touching that. It's like so creepy how you're touching that.
No, what's creepy is Robin has on white sparkle bunny ears, and she looks like a Playboy bunny.
And a giant headphones.
I can't look at you.
Oh, atta girl, Robin. Oh, so pretty.
It's a big juxtaposition. So that's what that is.
Oh, you just wanted to try to use that word.
You know, I'm all about the big words.
I'm telling you, I'm laying down a challenge for you over the next few weeks to try to work the word bifurcate in.
I don't even know what that means.
I had a coworker who used bifurcate
all the
time.
What does it mean?
Like two different paths, I think. Someone's going
really?
Like a split.
But so we have Halloween coming up. Robin, how do you feel about that?
I hate Halloween.
I do too. I'm not a fan.
And I'm so annoyed that like my daughter wants to be a vampire cheerleader. And my whole goal was to make sure the outfit wasn't hoary because she's nine. You know, I've never liked Halloween. It's not my jam. I always like whenever my kids say, what are you dressed up as? I say, a lesbian who dresses badly. And then that's my
that's
costume.
That's what you do. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I was into it at one point, but I was in theater. So yeah. Like I dressed up for work. I don't need to go get a whole costume and be cold.
Yeah, no.
Because you're never wearing enough clothes.
Always cold.
I don't need that in
my
life.
The costume's always wrecked when you got a big jacket underneath it. It's no
yeah,
problem.
I don't know. But you know, we have things that we're doing. But actually, Robin, because I'm home with my baby really a lot, something weird is happening
oh,
to
no.
me.
So I was losing judgment.
Well, I was home this morning with both kids because it's the weekend. And
the weekend.
And I said, you know what? We're going to Home Depot. Because I had this idea in my head that Orion can be an old man with like one of those old man walkers. And I thought, well, let's go to Home Depot and get the parts to make it.
What did you get? I got CVC pipe?
PVC
what
piping.
Is that pipe?
Yeah. Well, and funny story, I went
can
up to
the
guy.
Can you put the tennis balls on the bottom?
Yeah, I'm going to. I went up to the guy at Home Depot and I was like, I'm trying so hard to be like in the know, you know, because you don't want to be judged. And my dad was a carpenter, so I try to act like I know something, but I know nothing.
Also, you're representing all lesbians at Home Depot.
Right,
so
I know.
Like you really got
and
it.
I have two kids. So I go up to the guy, I'm like, can you tell me where the QVC piping is? And he goes, I'm what? I was like, the QVC piping, you know, and then
I just
like
called it
attitude.
The CVC piping,
yeah, right.
So,
totally.
Yeah.
I don't feel as bad.
Did you get all
toot-y
about
it? He was like, oh, you mean the PVC pipe? I was like, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Anyway.
I would like to request that you put a picture of Orion up on the social media.
If I actually pull this off, I will.
I think you can. I have faith. Just don't forget the tennis balls.
No, I'm going to put the tennis balls.
Also, pull his pants up really high.
Yes.
Until you, yeah. I mean, obviously. You
and I'm going to make a pipe out of his pacifier.
Sweet.
Yeah.
This is great.
We'll see if any of this happens. Right. I'm talking a big talk right now. And that was just a spur of the moment decision this morning. Just because
we
had to get out of the house.
You got 2 days. All right. Well, let's get to good luck with that. I'm just saying you could go down somewhere and just buy something. So let's go to our guests. Today we have a doctor from RMA.
Yes.
And his husband. So it's Mark and Greg.
So what is RMA?
RMA happens to be, he's not at the same branch, but it happens to be a fertility clinic. And it's the one that I went to make
your babies.
Yeah. So I'm super excited to hear his point of view about the process of like what it's like for him. And also just like, he's a surrogate dad. Mm-hmm. Like they used a surrogacy.
Right. Which is a whole another can of worms.
I think. And they also have this org, like this website that's helpful for parents out there. It's called gayparentstobe.com. And
yeah.
So it's yet another resource if you're trying to make a non-traditional family. So
yeah. I'm just really excited to have a fertility doctor in here.
I know.
Just to hear what his takes on.
Let's bring him in, shall we?
Crazy lesbians.
So crazy. Let's bring him in.
So hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
We have Mark and Greg.
Hello, hello.
And since people can't see you, we have two handsome gay men sitting here with us.
I mean, actually, all the gay men we've had have been really handsome, and then
we look so schlubby.
It's fine. We're the lesbians.
I mean, next time we have to wear makeup when the gays come in. Like, why don't we do, I mean, they're like in
I have,
suits.
Well, yeah, I know.
I'm wearing a Senior Frogs t-shirt.
We did talk about that a little earlier, too, right?
I mean, it doesn't get better than that. Let's start with where we always start, which is the elevator pitch. And I feel like, Greg, you're going to want to go first and give us the description of your family and relationship.
How did this all begin? Like 10 years ago when we met, but fast forward 3 years into our relationship. And we were headed up to visit his friends. I think it was the first time we met. And he was driving up there. He said, you know, I'd like you to think about this over the weekend. You don't have to answer until on the way back. But, you know, I'd really like to have a family with you and so on and so forth. And
I mean, you kind of had to see that coming because he's a reproductive endocrinologist. That's really hard to say.
It is. That's why
he's a doctor who makes people make babies. It's like a little bit like, you didn't see that coming.
I saw it coming, but it was still.
You were like, what?
A tantalizing moment. And I did wait till later in the weekend, but
to answer.
Just to make
right
him
away.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, you knew your answer
like,
right
I'm
away.
I'm going to be thoughtful about this.
And, I feel like I do that with my wife sometimes too.
He's being really nice though, because I said, because if you're not,
we're wrapping this up.
But no, we decided to move forward, and I was really coming at it blind in the sense of not knowing how, what, who, when, where, why. And
as we all do,
it was overwhelming once we got into it. I was, you know, very thankful that this is what he does and helps other people.
That does kind of make it easier.
Every day.
So, Mark, what is your elevator pitch of your family?
Greg is a very special person, and I met him and really, you know, changed my life, changed my perspective on life. And I was thinking of moving forward with parenthood by myself.
Really?
And so I met this person and fell in love, and that's awesome. But I still wanted to be a dad, so that was important. And the way our family has kind of come to life is through egg donation and surrogacy, and our children are half siblings, and you know, they are.
So you each donated.
We each donated, and we did sequential singleton pregnancies, so they're 26 months apart, and our relationship is complicated, as every you know, relationship with little kids are. And I think that I definitely, you know, I'm somebody who's pretty wants to always be moving forward and sometimes doesn't live in the present. And Greg lives in the present and sometimes enjoys the moment better than I do. So I think our relationship is a little bit like a tennis match. And, and but at the end of the match, I think we're well suited for each other and we really have a nice family. Our kids are not easy. And that
How
makes
old are
it
your
hard.
Kids?
7 and 4.
And they're what?
For two boys.
Two boys. Yeah.
Oh, so many dudes in your house.
All dudes.
We have a girl dog.
Okay. Yes. By the way, we have.
Who, by the way, is so not from us.
But that's beautiful. Greg, are you, Greg, you look like you were beaming when he was saying nice things about you.
Or were you just thinking about, like, you know.
Listen, you know. My wife is the pragmatic one of the relationship. And when she busts out with nice things, I'm always like, yeah, like it melts me inside. I don't know. It's the anyway. I don't know if you're feeling the same way, Greg.
He could be a little rough around the edges sometimes, but you know when stuff like that comes out, it's so heartfelt.
Felt that.
You know, it doesn't matter public or private. He'll, you know, he tears up.
Oh, it's you like, guys, I feel like we're all going to cry right now.
Not yet.
Don't make me cry yet.
Sometimes it's like, oh, no, don't.
not here. Do you think the rough around the edges thing, like, I mean, everyone always talks about doctors and bedside manner. Do you think that has anything to do with like your choice of profession?
I think you have a public personality and you need to separate the problem from the patient. The other thing is you have to be sympathetic and empathetic. And so I connect with people. And so sometimes it's hard for me to not wear my heart in my sleeve for the problems that are going through. I mean, I've spent the past, you know, 20 plus years taking care of people who are struggling to have a baby. And it's a major life stress. And it's a lot of hard times and not everybody has a baby. And now that I've been a patient, it's actually changed my perspective as well because we've had our own hurdles in getting through this process. So I think I definitely emote more. And, you know, I was always the sensitive kid and I always was kind of a little bit of a crier and I still am.
Me too. Well, let's talk about your family and how you made your family.
How did it happen?
So Greg said, yeah, I'm all in. So, you know, I kind of knew the steps because this is what I've done for other people. So
if you didn't know the steps, I'd be a little concerned.
Exactly. But it was still overwhelming for me because once it's personal, but you had to identify the IVF clinic that you were going to work with. And then you have to find an egg donor. And
did you use your clinic?
I did not use my clinic.
That would be a conflict of interest?
Well, you really want a degree of separation because if things don't go well, you don't want your people to feel bad about it. Not everything always goes well. And I think as a doctor, we're trained to like, when we operate on somebody, when you operate on an appendix, they just show you that little portion of the body. You separate the person from the problem. So I wanted to be able to, the people taking care of us, to be able to just treat us like everybody else. Because when people have a connection, sometimes they don't make the best decision as well for you. So we used an outside clinic, but that's where it got interesting because then all of a sudden, you know, I'm the patient, I'm not the doctor. And the process of assisted reproduction for gay men is pretty straightforward. You need sperm, you need eggs, and you need a uterus. And so we do that all day up and down. There's a million IVF cycles done worldwide every year and you just need to put those things together. But for gay men, where are your eggs coming from? And where your eggs come from involve looking for a donor, talking to the social worker or the psychologist, talking to the egg donor nurse coordinator, looking at maybe at pictures, if they're available, because when we did this, there were very few open donations for egg donors. And then kind of negotiating a little bit and secretly sharing your story sometimes with people that you're going through these things, and then kind of saying, okay, this is our decision, right?
Robin.
Yes, Jamie.
We need to take a moment and we need to talk about something that most folks do not want to talk about, okay?
What's that?
UTIs.
Oh, it's true. People don't want to talk about it. But the thing is, though, is that a lot of people get UTIs. I just learned that UTIs are the second most common infection in the U.S.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
You know what I also just learned?
What's that?
Half of all women get them. And about one in five women get them on a recurring basis.
That is,
I mean, I
so
have heard
people.
Friends talk about UTIs.
Yeah, that is so many people.
It is. And listen, I also just learned that cranberry juice, they say that that cures it. It's basically useless.
It's a joke.
And I personally don't want to be taking a bunch of antibiotics because you know me, natural and stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
So what's a girl to do?
Well, I would tell you that you should use Eucora.
You what?
Yes, Eucora. It's a natural and effective way to prevent UTIs. Oh. It was developed using some of the best research available in collaboration with a team of physicians.
Yes, totally. And Eucora has a unique formula that targets bacteria and enables you to safely flush bacteria out of your urinary tract, stopping UTIs before they can even start.
I mean, and you just have to mix it with water and you drink it after intimacy, Jamie, or exercise, or wherever you think that you might be at risk of a UTI.
Oh, you know what the best part of this for me?
What's that?
It's that it's all natural and get this, it tastes like pink lemonade.
You had me at lemonade, Jamie. And no UTI, because I really don't want one.
No, I don't want a UTI.
So everybody who's listening, get Eucora and say goodbye to UTIs. Right now, and this is very exciting, Eucora is offering our listeners 30% off when you text OCT to 484848. But you got to hurry, though, because this is a limited time offer. Mm. So text OCT to 484848. To get 30% off your order of Eucora. That's OCT to 484848.
484848.
Oh my God, I want to make it into a song. 4848.
4848.
No, let's not.
I would just go with it. I was going with it.
So back in 2009, we as a practice, my own personal practice, we were trying to work on how to open the door a little bit for donation, because I think it's nice for the children to have access to their genetic gamete donor. So we went through also the process of making sure our donor knew that we had to put a legal agreement in place so we would have permission for our children to contact her in the future. Nowadays, in my practice, 95% of our donors are open. We have adult videos. We have pictures.
Oh, wow.
They're willing
adult
to meet,
videos.
They're willing to meet the parents and
so on.
Well,
actually, yeah, because we've talked to some gay couples who knew their egg donors well.
Yeah.
Yeah, met their egg donors.
And the care. Yeah.
It's just same it's things so happened in the sperm donor world now, too.
What?
Yeah. There's open donors.
We missed the window.
We have open donors.
We have open donors.
We got childhood photos. Yeah.
No, so now there's adult photos. You can see videos. You can do a video Skype. You can be known.
What?
Yeah.
The world has just passed us by, Jamie.
And this was, and you were doing this 7 years ago.
Embryo creation happened like in 2009. Because it takes a while to have a baby and get a surrogate.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's like,
You said two things too, in the process of two guys doing this. You said you have to see a psychologist. Is that you speaking with a psychologist or the egg donor speaking with a psychologist?
So we speak with the psychologist and the egg donor is screened with the psychologist.
And it's mandated.
Fertility medicine is not regulated by the federal government. So our parent organization, the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, has guidelines. Mm-hmm. And within those guidelines, it's recommended that intended parents using donor gametes, whether sperm or egg, meet with a mental health professional to educate them on what's important.
Oh, see, I thought it was mandated because I actually did use RMA.
It's the policy procedure of that practice, which I would agree with. And because who's ever, like, who has any knowledge about how to pick an egg donor or a sperm donor? Like, why not get education on that? And this is the same usually social work or social work department or mental health department that screens the egg donors too. Mm-hmm, so it's a way of them getting to know you and kind of peeling the onion on what's important and not important. And in going through this process as a patient, I really have a much greater respect for the mental health professionals that do this because they're very personally passionate about doing it well. and protecting everybody in the process, the intended parents as well as the donors.
I mean, I think the only thing I would say on the other side of it is, since we were in the same family, I was offended because I was like, it's my wife. If we could make a baby together, like, I don't need to meet you to tell me anything.
You didn't meet together?
We did meet together.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying is like, I was kind of like, why do I need to meet you? Like, I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm paying you. You know, that was my feeling. I mean, she was nice and it was fine, but it just felt like I was being mandated to do something that I just felt like I didn't want to do. But you make a good point.
They didn't have you meet with the mental health professional to use a sperm donor?
No. Mm-mm. Well, I mean, my kids are 9 and 7, so I don't know if that's a change in policy since then.
It's kind of been there in place, but a lot of programs don't require it. And lesbian couples kind of come through the process from so many different angles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It depends on kind of what the doctor thinks they need.
Midstream. Yeah. So like as soon as we had done that, we changed course. So it could be that we had already met with the professional and they were like, you know, but nobody talked to us about the donor.
Nobody asked us to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We came and they said, so are you using a sperm donor? We said, yes. They said, where are you getting it from? We told them. And, okay. So you have to ship it here and then blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
So we basically require our lesbian intended mothers to meet with a mental health professional to help them make the decision. It's basically, how are you making your choice? What's important? Do you want an anonymous donor? Do you want a known donor? How are you going to talk to your child? What are you going to reveal to your family? Are you going to create basically a box or a book for this child? So when they start asking questions, are you guys both on the same page and so on? And that's the things that the doctors don't necessarily talk to you about. And, you know, when I think of guiding people on picking any kind of donor, a sperm donor or an egg donor, you're accessing their family tree. You're not getting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to focus on their family tree. And then basically you have to agree.
Right. You know, it doesn't hurt. Actually, it's a great idea. It doesn't hurt to do that because, and
it's
Robin
just my
and I always
self being like, get out of my business.
No, but Robin and I always talk about this thing of gay drafting where you get all your information from the other lesbian couples who have done it or gay couples who have done it. And so we learned so much of that stuff from the couples that we knew who had done it before. But it doesn't hurt to go talk to somebody who can like lay it out for you and say, these are the things you need to think about. Because like my wife, and I, Ann and I, we started out, we picked our donor and he was not an open donor. He was anonymous. And we went, I don't think we did even a single, we did one round with him and then talked to our other friends who had already done it, who said, oh no, we did the open, and then explained it to us. Right. And then we went home that night and said, shit.
What did
and we chose a different donor.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
that's a good point.
It wouldn't hurt. To have had that.
I mean, donor sperm's not cheap either, so you want to make sure you make the right decision. So a known donor now at the banks is more expensive than an anonymous donor, but you know, that's it's more screening and
they get you coming and going.
It's an open door for a relationship, right?
Yeah. Okay, so back to you guys. You're in the process and you're meeting with other people that are not your RMA.
Right, right. So then we have to pick a donor, and one of the funny stories about us picking a donor, which I'll let Greg tell, is Greg was really interested in height.
So and was I.
Aren't you guys
I'm
the same
extremely
height?
Short.
I'm a couple inches shorter than him.
Interesting.
Initially, you know, height was, I want taller rather than shorter. And there were a couple, things that this process made me rethink. And one of them was height and like physical characteristics. Mm-hmm. It made me dive deeper into like, who is this person that's donating their egg and genetic material to our future child? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are they like?
By the way, all this time, sports? I thought you guys were talking about your sperm. And so then I was like, I was like, wow, this is getting like nitty gritty about each other.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I was like, aren't you both just going to do it?
No. Talking about that egg donor selection.
And I'm egg with donors. You now.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it was really interesting to read the questionnaire as it was filled out and, you know, like how she described her family and, you know, the activities she was involved in. And it was like this whole other component that, you know, for whatever my reasons were, I was thinking more of, aesthetics. You know, superficial stats, which I think are important too, but there was so much more to this. And it's like, you know, it felt like a really, really big deal and a really big decision.
It is a really big deal. Yeah. I've been wearing glasses since I was in second grade and I always hated them and so on and so on. So I was like, I don't want anybody who's nearsighted and so on. I want to try it out. My kids not
weed out, suffer like I did,
right?
Past.
So you might as well move the needle, right?
Yeah.
And he was interested in someone that was tall. And we were trying to look for somebody who was kind of, you know, I'm Southern European, he's Northern European, kind of thread that needle. And there were a few people that I had shared with who were my professional friends on, you know, that were doing this process. And one of these women, who's a friend of mine, who's 5'4", who's a reproductive endocrinologist, was over our house. And she is also Greek, and so she's not that tall. And we talked about this, and she was wearing 4-inch heels. And she got on her tiptoes and looked Greg in the eye, and she goes, "What's wrong with being 5'4"?
And you were like, "Absolutely nothing."
It's fine.
You
win.
That's right. Jamie, I want to talk about my makeup.
I'm sorry, what?
I know. It's like makeup's not usually my thing, but I found Follaine and I have got to share about them. They're a clean beauty retailer that believes that no one should have to compromise their health for beauty. Isn't that amazing?
No, yeah, totally.
And it's like so up your alley that I was like, I got to tell Jamie
about
this.
I am all about Follaine because you know that obviously non-toxic stuff is my jam.
It's your jam.
And for a product to be Follaine approved, I just learned this, it has to be safe, effective, and luxurious.
And because we want that. I'm putting stuff on my face, it better be luxurious.
Yeah, and they are uncompromising in their quest to find the best products.
I love that they ensure that every ingredient in their product plays a positive role in your health. And there's no downsizes and no compromises are allowed.
I love
it's probably
that.
Like the only place where no compromise is, is a good thing.
And in our country. Well, well, let me tell you what I got. I got the Clean Essentials Kit.
I got it too.
Oh, you did? Well, I got this because it's 100% non-toxic. It's vegan and cruelty-free, which you know I really care about.
I do.
And it's for all skin types. Mm-hmm. So my wife can use it. I can use it. And get this. Mm-hmm. If any product doesn't work for you, they'll replace it with something that does with free returns.
I know that Clean Essential Kit is amazing. It's like a trial sizes of all of your everyday things that you need, your cleanser, toner, and then they have the Ursa Major Golden Hour, which I just love the name of that.
I know, because that's a constellation, and you know I named my son after a constellation.
Yeah, and then there's a refillable soap, which, P.S., today Henry was like, "Where is that new soap?" Because it has this really awesome citrusy smell. And it just felt so clean. And he ran over and washed his hands with it.
Look at that. I gotta try that with Rose because it's like a battle in our house.
Good luck.
But guys, for only $22, that's over 50% off. Try the Clean Essentials Kit today. Go to follaine.com/OCT to try the kit and enter OCT at checkout for free shipping.
Free shipping? Oh my God, you guys, it's so good. I need to repeat it.
Repeat
for only $22, it's over 50% off. Try the Clean Essentials Kit today and you can go to follaine.com/OCT to try the kit and you just enter OCT at checkout and you get yourself some free shipping.
Try this out, guys. You're going to love it.
Do it.
When we did this, for dads, there was not this kind of match.com selection choice, the clinic kind of gave us a choice. So our donor egg nurse coordinator, who I still like, am in contact with, who I love, basically said, you know, I think we found your donor, right?
Yeah.
That's something I've never heard of before. So that's this is somebody you work with at the clinic and you say, this is what we want. This is what we're looking for. And then she keeps her eyes open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I recently saw Monica as the nurse's name and I recently saw her and I'm just listening. I mean, you're seeing me tear up. And I've already said, like, I just gave her a big hug because we love our kids, right?
Yeah.
So she made that happen.
Right? Yes, she's a big part of this.
Cool. I wish we had Monica in here. Right? Right. I would hug her.
Group hug.
Group hug, Monica. So you got your egg donor. How did you decide who was going to?
Well, you just split the pool, right?
You split it.
So the egg donor, you get
that's
like.
That's the beautiful thing you guys get to do.
Yeah.
Did you already know you wanted two? Because you both wanted to have the genetic.
I think if we were younger, we would have wanted three or four.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You
know. So, I understand that too.
But did you for one say, this one's mine? And then for the next one,
no,
say,
they
this
pooled
one's
yours? Them.
But what does that mean though?
So what,
them? It's like, that's the part I get
So what they do is your egg donor gets stimulated. So normally women make release one egg per month. Sure. It's a really exquisite system. And 99% of the time, human females are having one baby at a time, right? What fertility doctors do is they take that starting pool at the start of a menstrual cycle, which is somewhere for young women, somewhere around, you know, 15 to 25 immature follicles that have immature eggs on them. And they pour in fertility medicines that lead to superovulation. So instead of one egg developing within a follicle, 20 follicles develop. Sure. And we had more than 25 eggs retrieved.
Amazing.
So then what they do is they say, well, which eggs are mature? And they say, we're going to fertilize these eggs with sperm from intended father A. And we're going to fertilize these eggs with intended from sperm from intended father B.
Got it.
And then they run them down in parallel in the IVF laboratory. And then they report out, you know, the quality of the embryos. And we did not have a surrogate yet. And then they freeze the embryos.
So then you have this pool.
You know, so you might have like 10 of yours and like 5 of yours.
Yeah. Well, do you guys remember how many you
got? Remember, but it was pretty even.
And then how did you decide who would go first?
Whose embryo we would transfer first?
Yeah.
So we don't even have a surrogate yet. So right now we're just making embryos and I think
just making cookies.
Just making embryos, right?
Like you do.
And you need to know you have the embryos first before you can decide who's going to go first. Because what if one of you doesn't do well?
Right.
What if one of you doesn't make good embryos? So the decision who was going to go first, I don't think we've ever really, you know, talked about it.
Did you just take it, Mark?
Are we a tip in the hat here?
What?
Are we tipping the hat here? So,
Wait, this is important.
Oh, tell us.
So that was another.
So you guys can experience this as well, but it's a little bit different. So if you're a dad with two kids, I'll tell you a true story. Rolling down the street in our little suburban Connecticut town with my two kids in the stroller, and they're little at this point. We have the double stroller and it's great. And I'm right by the beach and so on. And you know, oh, you're giving your wife the day off. I'm like, we're a two-dad family. And she goes, which one's yours?
Yeah,
right.
And I'm like, well, they're both mine. And she like kind of gives me the look. Yeah. I sit and she goes, well, which one's really yours? And I'm seriously like, I don't even know this
stop
person.
It. Yeah.
So I said to her, well, you can find out when they find out. And they're going to ask when they're like 9. So if you're still part of my life, then you can find out then.
Yeah, check back. Check.
So we basically have.
I don't think they even understand it's offensive, that question.
Yeah, they don't. So we basically, even amongst our closest friends and family, we have not basically said who's genetically.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. So don't tell us.
We feel like.
You're not going to, Jamie. I don't know if you missed that.
We feel like it's important for our kids to be the ones to find out first.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. So they don't know yet, and you haven't talked about that. They haven't asked.
That said, as they got older, it seems a little bit.
I was going to say, you guys have similar features and coloring.
They'll ask eventually. I mean, there's a lot of data on donor-conceived children for gay men and lesbian women and so on. And basically, right around like 3, 4, 5, kids want to know whose tummy they were in. Yep. And right around 8, 9, 10, they want to know whose sperm or egg did you use?
Because then they get the sperm concept.
Right.
You're not going to get the sperm concept at 4.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, and I think it's important that it's not dad A's child and dad B's child. Yeah. They're our children. So our families are different.
Yes.
Well, you get to keep that information and you get to frame it in that way. And I think that's very interesting. And I had never thought of that.
And this is
like
something-
we can't, because like Jamie said, we have to say it came out of me.
There is the... as I've learned, like the reciprocal IVF,
which they were going to do.
Yeah, that's what we were going to do.
And then they did.
And then we bailed out.
So then the child's assumption wouldn't be correct.
You're right. The bottom line is that we all keep coming back to in every single interview we do is these are very intentional families. These are not accidents. We put a lot of thought into them. We put a lot of thought into how we're going to raise our kids, how we're going to parent them. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. So, you know, everybody, we all have our own story and we all have our own journey of how we made our families, but nothing was an accident and nothing we're doing is an accident.
I mean, 50% of pregnancies in the straight world are unintentional.
Exactly.
And it takes most LGBTQ persons about 2 years to have a baby.
Right. Mm. Exactly.
With, you know, perseverance of process,
money,
nothing's covered by insurance and you need help.
Yeah.
You know, lots of help. You can practice all you want. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. But you did decide when you did the implantation, you decided one of you, which one, yeah. you had a decision.
You have to tell that. Well,
you,
actually,
you, have to say. You could my, put one of each in my, couldn't you?
We I think could.
Did that
but
we talked to.
I don't recommend a double embryo transfer anymore because of the risk of associated with twin pregnancies, of which there's about 10 to 15% chance of, you know, either major birth defect or being born so premature that there can be, you know, complications in the hospital or, the other thing we worry about is autism and developmental delay that's increased in twins. So for me as,
and not to mention the extra burden on
the parenting journey,
woman caring
and the woman caring. Yeah.
Oh true. Yeah. You don't even think about
most
that.
Surrogates. Oh, right. Most surrogates want to do one because they don't want to have a twin pregnancy either.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I can understand that. Who wants to gain 40 pounds and
And you know, you're going to go early or it's likely all that, all that business.
So, but, and so we didn't talk about you guys finding the surrogate.
So we worked with a surrogacy agency, right? And they present you with a match. So basically you contract with a surrogacy agency, you sign a retainer, and then they do the search for you. And it usually takes, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months for them to say, you know, you're at the top of the list. And we're going to, if the next surrogate that comes through the door passes our preliminary screening, we're going to present them to you. And then they basically coordinate a phone call.
I remember racking.
Because you wanted her to like you?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Right. All totally. The above.
Yeah. And you want to like her.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
But so did you have any feeling like nothing, I mean, I guess it's pulling from her body, but all the genetics are coming from the egg donor and from you guys. Like, do you feel like she's a part of the children too?
You know,
I mean, you're a doctor too.
There's this whole field called epigenetics. And I think most people think of our genetic code as a hard code, but it's not. It's a flexible code. And what genes are on and
this is the first time hearing of this.
And
this
what genes are on and what genes are off are determined by the environment.
Really?
And the most powerful epigenetic effect on who you are is in utero. What? And the second most powerful epigenetic effect is birth to five. So the woman who carries the pregnancy is basically in command and control of some of genes that are only are turned on and off in pregnancy and only ever used then.
Because her hormones are determined.
Her hormones, her lifestyle, her mood.
And they're determining behaviors. What actually.
It's almost like biorhythms.
There's extreme examples of identical twins. We know they're identical twins where one twin had a very difficult pregnancy, meaning maybe they were getting less supply or less.
Yeah.
And maybe in one particular part of the uterus or they were sharing blood supply and one twin was getting more than the other. And those twins don't look identical anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And they carried the same genes, but the expression of the genes changed because of the environment in utero.
This is a fascinating idea. Stuff.
So epigenetics is a hot thing in medicine right now.
I would imagine.
It's everywhere
it would be.
How environment affects gene expression. So we're all using BPA-free bottles, right?
Yeah.
For our kids.
We're trying.
So exactly.
Sometimes we have cheap ones.
But why
from
are
like,
we doing
know,
that?
Target.
Because we think that the plastics in the bottle affects gene expression, which may affect the health and well-being of our children as they grow up or their cancer risk or things like that.
Yeah, right.
So that's an example of epigenetics. So for my patients who, let's say, have to use an egg donor, so their eggs don't work anymore and they're going to use an egg donor, but they're going to carry the pregnancy. They are biologically linked to that child because they're the person who carries that pregnancy. Mm. They're the person who's doing everything they can to take care of that child in utero, affecting gene expression. I mean, we do know from extreme examples of women who drink in pregnancy or use drugs in pregnancy, those children are affected.
Right.
But they're affected because those substances affect expression of genes that everything from mental capacity to birth defects or things like that. So our surrogate, you know, you also worry. I mean, I have dads that worry and patients that worry, straight couples that are using surrogates about what she's eating, how happy she is, and all those other things. Because those things do translate potentially down to the not only the health of the pregnancy or potentially the health and well-being of the child.
I have to say, for your guys' situation, that can be a little nerve-wracking because now you want a woman who's really, really going to be happy the whole time. And you know,
and
these
she's
kinds
in another
of
state.
There's so much to worry about.
But next door.
My heart is warmed hearing this. I have friends who have used egg donors and some are not open about it and carry the baby.
Oh, yeah.
And I just never thought of it that way. I never realized that.
I literally thought of it as a hopper and I know I feel like a bad person for it.
No, but.
No, don't. But most people
I mean,
do.
I'll get over it. But I
mean, I usually say your carrier's not a vase that's growing a potted plant. They're actually taking an embryo from 150 cells to a 7-pound baby. Mm-hmm. And that baby is interacting with your carrier's environment the whole time. And that goes down to for women who are receiving donated eggs and women are receiving donated embryos. So back to your example, your child may have been slightly different personality-wise.
If
a different person carried them. And we just don't know because we don't have that experiment, right? Mm-hmm. I remember when we had our conversation, we were in our bedroom and we were talking to our surrogate and her husband, very nervous to start the phone call. And it went okay.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of hit it when you asked me, you know, I wanted them to like me because I thought that, you know, I want this to go so well because to me, this woman is giving us such a gift. Thank her enough. And she was wonderful throughout it. I mean, she was so cool. I was just so appreciative of what she was doing, like every step of the way. So
are you still in touch with her?
Yeah. We actually went to visit a couple summers ago.
Our son wanted to kind of close the loop of whose tummy he was in.
And did that make him feel?
Yeah. It was very sweet.
Yeah, it was. Aww. Yeah. It was fun. And next month. Well, so there's more to the story.
Yeah, there's more to the story.
Unfortunately, we couldn't continue our second journey with her.
Very, very, very sad.
Yeah. You know, it's already complicated enough. There's a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
Now we had to start over again with.
It's hard.
Another agency and another surrogate. And fortunately, somebody.
My first surrogate did it better.
They're very different, actually.
Different. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, we were very fortunate. She's a nurse midwife.
Oh.
So it's like.
So, you know, she knows what she's doing. Kinda,
yeah. And she was so sort of chill about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she made us feel. I mean, second time around, you should be a little more comfortable, but
you're just tired because you're getting woken up every night.
Also, because your son, your older son was how old when you...
He was a year and a half. Yeah. one thing I want to say that's interesting about when you connect with your surrogate initially, for a dad to be, you've already been waiting 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like incentivized to even... like her, even if you don't love her, because say no, you might have to wait another 2 or 3 months.
Right.
And you already have embryos and you just want to have
a baby.
Well, you started the process. You're ready to, you want the kid. When you say you want a kid, you want the kid.
Mm-hmm. A Robin?
Yes, Jamie.
Did you know that the first 28 days of pregnancy are the most important days?
Are you trying to tell me something, Jamie?
No.
Am I pregnant and I don't know?
No, I'm sorry. No. I am just thinking about all our listeners who are probably pregnant or will be getting pregnant in the near future, about to be trying. Yeah, it's very likely. And it is so important that they are ready with the critical nutrients they need. And the good news is you can get that with the Ritual Essential Prenatal Vitamin with DHA.
Oh, you need that DHA.
You do.
And it's true, but you know what's amazing though, Jamie?
I don't think
you even noticed is that Ritual is right up your alley.
You didn't think I noticed?
It's vegan friendly, sugar free, non-GMO, gluten free, and allergen free.
All the good frees.
Yeah. And all the ingredients in Ritual Essential Prenatal are 100% traceable.
That's
how do you like them apples?
I love them apples. And
what?
It's a subscription service, Robin, which means delivery to your door.
God, you know I love that. Mm-hmm. I am not a shopper.
No, you really aren't. Neither am I. We have kids. We live in New York.
We're busy.
Too much.
We're busy.
The subscription is also very easy to start and it's easy to stop.
Yeah.
It's easy to pause.
Yeah,
it's easy
you can
to
pause
hit
it.
Snooze on. And it's about $1 a day to have all the essential nutrients you're pregnant or about to be pregnant body needs delivered right to your doorstep every single month.
I mean, what I say is, whether you're living life or creating it, why wouldn't you want to just add some good-looking science into your daily routine?
Mm-hmm, good-looking science. Visit ritual.com/OCT to start your ritual today. That's ritual.com/OCT.
I see what you did there, Jamie.
You saw that?
It was a pun. I like it. Wordplay. You guys mentioned that, like, your journey on creating your family had you start an organization for other people, other LGBTQ families to start families. There's so many families in that sentence. It's a lot of families. Can you tell us about that? Like, who, I have a feeling I know where the organization started, but I'm curious from you too.
I think that the transition to parenthood was really kind of a dramatic kind of forced me much more out of the closet.
Yes.
And I wanted to be proud of my family. And I realized how hard it was to do all these things. And I wanted to help the community. So that's where we kind of worked together. And Greg works in digital marketing. And we came up with kind of a place to start. It's called Gay Parents to Be. And it's meant to serve the LGBTQ community. And it's really, you know, grown a lot. And it's got a nice following. And it's
what does the org do for, like, if I'm a lesbian and I want to have a baby, or I'm anybody who wants to have a baby?
So it's meant as an informational space to there's many blogs on there. There's educational videos on there, and there's links to other organizations. It's not meant as a place to simply direct patients to my practice. Because no, I have that, right?
No, I can tell you're very passionate about this. You don't know it, but he just teared up talking about it.
So I talk to people all across the country, and I try to connect people with practices that are LGBTQ friendly, mm-hmm. and kind of put people together. And, you know, one thing that's been very special to me is that, you know, even as a gay man and as a reproductive endocrinologist, we aren't really, it's really been the past maybe 5 years that, you know, trans family building has really kind of come into its own. And I remember a few years ago, there was a guy that lived in San Francisco, but he contacted, you know, us and then me through Gay Parents to Be. And I just messed up because she contacted me.
We all do this. Right? It's a learning curve.
Right. Yeah. We talk a lot about that, yeah. that we're learning.
So she was born with testicles, right? So I helped her get to the right place and never came to New York or anything like that, but just got her started. And then the reverse happened after that. So it's been, you know, I think that if to be lesbian or gay is this portion of the population, to be somebody living in the wrong body is an even smaller portion of the population. Yep. And to empower them to kind of take that step to be a parent. Because your sexuality and your assigned gender has nothing to do with your desire to be a parent.
Completely. And it's all separate. Yeah.
So that's been really kind of a special thing to be able to help with.
That's great. And, you know, considering how far we've come as the gays and the lesbians in the fertility world and the family making world, trans people are way back there. Yeah. And you hope that it's moving forward and they're going to get to where we are now eventually. And you have more insight in that than I do. But
in some ways, I mean, so I speak every year at the LGBTQ Task Force. Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
It's an LGBT organization that really has a nice political arm and activism arm and so on. But I go there for family building. But I speak for a big pharma company, and I have a slide deck that's like set, and it speaks in the binary. And I was giving this presentation and I got snapped. Do you guys know what that means?
No.
Basically, the audience started snapping me because I was only talking about men and women and not people born with ovaries who are living as a man, and not women who were born with testes who are living as women,
right.
And not being gender fluid. And it was an eye-opening moment to me that you know, I always strive to be inclusive, but this slide deck I was talking with, and they did change the deck, was not inclusive.
Right.
And it's hard as a doctor to not talk about, you know, ovaries and testicles and so on, but we're much more complicated than that.
Yeah.
So because I have always said there's no accidental pregnancies in the LGBTQ community.
Right.
But if you're a trans person who has not been on hormonal suppression and your partner is a sperm source and you are maybe living as a man, but you have a vagina and they're having sex, you can get pregnant, right?
Sure.
And there's the famous Time magazine cover of the trans man breastfeeding his child, right?
Yeah.
Which sent my very religious Greek Orthodox mother over the edge.
Yeah.
It took her a long time to accept me, and then she has that. So,
but
it pushes people over that boundary.
Yeah. Processing, and it's constantly evolving, and new terminology is coming up, and more inclusive terminology keeps coming, and it's important for all of us to stay on top of it, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, you found it out in a very public way, so kudos to you.
Interesting.
Forced to roll with it.
Yeah.
But you know, it needed to happen.
Yes.
It's okay. You know, if you've never been to the LGBTQ Task Force meeting, I encourage you to go. It's 8,000 gay people They take care of our hotel. All
it already sounds like a party.
All the bathrooms become gender neutral. There's a lot of young people here. There's a lot of activism and so on. You know, it's for everybody. It's really nice. And it's the first time I went, it was in Houston in 2015, I think. And, you know, I had never felt so much part of something larger because I had never been in a place where, you know what, to be straight was rare.
We talk about this like in the 90s, like I spent all my time at Henrietta's, the bar in Manhattan, because it was just like, where are the lesbians? Like not marginalized, but as a smaller percentage of the population, it was interesting to just be at a place where I knew everyone was like me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't get that in the regular world.
Yeah.
So in regards to your gay parents to be org, did I say that right? Gayparents.com. Like, let's say, because I'm trying to get a grasp of like who can use this, how this works. In my personal journey, my wife had our first child. It was relatively easy. Then we went to me and it took a much longer time. But like, could I have used your organization? So it got to a point where we were like tapped out money-wise.
This organization is really like how to start and how to connect with the right doctor and so on. So you were well past that when you were in there. So it's really like if someone types in LGBT parenting, it'll pop up and it's like, you know, where to go. It's the start of the navigation.
It's a starting
point. If you don't have somebody to draft off of.
Yeah. Right. I mean, really.
And it's nationwide.
It's a website, right?
Right. So it's got.
But I think part of your question, though, comes down to if you're a lesbian, if you're a gay person, if you're a trans person, you know, where can you go? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is that not every fertility doctor is happy to treat our community.
Yeah, it's true.
So around here, pretty much everybody is.
Yeah, but if luckily you're in
Missouri, maybe not. Maybe if you're in Alabama, you need to know where to go.
Right.
And that's
all right. That's a great.
It's a very helpful organization. Yeah.
Yeah. So access to care, though. So the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, we've just formed after 3 years of petitioning the LGBTQ special interest group at our national organization, which is supposed to then provide a framework to guide patients of who is an appropriate practitioner to go to if you need help.
That's huge. Mm. That's great.
Yeah. So hopefully we're able to do that. So we're moving the needle. I always like to move the needle.
That's a very corporate
good phrase of yours.
Well, listen, thank you guys so much for coming in. This was like fantastic. Well,
that was it.
I mean, do you have anything else to share?
I feel
like we could hear so many more stories about your kids. Well, like you said, they're not easy, which I want to delve deep into.
We always say, what's going to happen is we're probably going to show up to your house outside. You'll hear us honking.
We're not really going to do that, guys. But we'll talk about it a lot.
We will.
Because we want to come to your house for dinner now.
You're always welcome. We like drop-ins.
Oh,
okay.
Hey.
That is the way our house runs.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And Greg's much more flexible with that, bless his soul, than I am.
I can see it. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
man.
Thank you guys so much. This was fantastic.
Thank you so much for having us.
It was wonderful. Thank you.
I loved Mark and Greg. I loved how sensitive Mark was. Mm. He was going to cry like a couple of times.
He's like the boy version of me.
Okay.
It's just beautiful.
Well, that was a great episode. Yeah. I'm so glad they came.
Yeah. I learned a lot.
Yeah. Well, and you know, before we head out of here, I have to tell you, I started listening to a new podcast.
I know. Yes.
Yes.
Are you in
the same one as the one I told you to listen to?
Yeah.
Okay. Why Mommy Drinks.
Yeah. I get it. I really get it. And it's funny.
It is funny. You guys should check them out. We got a little teaser of them. Let's play it.
Let's listen to these ladies.
Hey, this is Betsy Stover.
And I'm Amanda Allen.
And we do a podcast called
Why Mommy Drinks.
Each episode, we have a guest and we all share a story of a time that our kids drove us to drink.
Parenting isn't easy, but it sure can be funny.
Listen to us on Campfire Media.
Why Mommy Drinks.
So funny.
I know.
They're funny ladies.
All right, folks, listen, if you have comments, questions, stories, you want to be on our podcast, hit us up on the social.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Robin.
Oh, is it my turn? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I haven't done it in so long.
I know. Can you do it?
Okay.
With those Playboy bunny ears on?
On Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, mm-hmm. @ovaries_talk.
You
oh my God,
it.
I'm so bad at
I know.
It. On Twitter, Ovaries Talk.
@ovariestalk, yes.
Yep. And then, well, I mean, the hat's implied. And then if you want to email us, ovariestalk@gmail.com.
Good job.
I did it.
Yay. Yeah. And we want to say thank you to our sponsors yes. for this episode, Eucora, Filane, and Ritual. And do not forget, my friends, to use the promo codes we gave you for the purchases.
Yes, because you get free stuff or cheaper stuff.
Cheaper stuff.
Or deals.
Yeah, and it helps them out, helps us out. Mm-hmm. So it's important.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. And I hope you survive Halloween or you did survive
it. I think they love it. Most people love it.
We're the odd men out.
Yeah.
People, odd people out. We're just odd.
We can just, yeah, we're odd.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Odd out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.